This is Jay Sekulow, a battle for Israel at the UN.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
We have an overwhelming obligation, notwithstanding our sometimes overwhelming frustration with the Israeli government. We have an obligation to push them as hard as we can toward what they know in their gut is the only ultimate solution, the two-state solution.
Does the president agree with those comments the vice president made?
The way that I would describe the situation is consistent with what the vice president said, which is that the nation of Israel is the strongest ally that the United States has in the Middle East. And we stand shoulder to shoulder with them when it comes to the national security interests of our two countries. The United States provides tremendous assistance to the nation of Israel to ensure their security. And our commitment to that level of cooperation and that level of assistance has not wavered at all, despite what have been some obvious policy differences between our two governments.
We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaths so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. And this is a very special broadcast because we're going to be talking about what's going on with Israel, what's going on with Israel at the United Nations, where our American Center for Law and Justice office in both Strasbourg, France, in Washington, and New York are constantly engaged. And now the new attacks, the latest attacks on Israel coming from the United States. A known ally of the Israelis? Well, that used to be the case. But there's an op-ed today. It's a fascinating op-ed that is in Israel International News that talks about, this is from the victim, the family of a victim of Palestinian terrorism, was killed in 1995 because the Obama administration has redefined terrorism and is blaming Israel for excessive force when Molotov cocktails, rocks, even bullets are aimed at Israeli soldiers. What do you want them to do, Mr. President? That's the substance of this particular op-ed. But we're going to be joined in just a few minutes with a very good friend of ours, the ambassador from Israel to the United Nations, Danny Danone, former deputy speaker of the Knesset. He's someone we've worked with for a long time. And we are working front and center on this. And Jordan, people need to know right now that the ACLJ, we're not just talking about defending Israel on these two UN resolutions that are coming up, including the redefinition of the borders and the condemnation of Israeli building what are called settlements, but it's Israeli territory. We've been working on this at the UN, fighting for Israel.
Yeah, at the UN, at international courts and tribunals. We have the office in Jerusalem with Israeli staff and a legal team there on the ground. We have assisted both persecuted Christians with Israel's help, which should be highlighted by our United States government instead of, like Vice President Biden, condemning Israel. Should be highlighted the fact that it was Israel who stepped in to help persecuted Palestinian Christians that we have represented before with our office in Jerusalem. But we now see, Dad, when you see the buildup with Vice President Biden and the comments he made to the liberal J Street, which is a pretty anti-Israel, definitely anti-Netanyahu government group, and you see those comments, you hear the statements, the very weak statements, yep, that we're waiting to see what kind of proposals are made at the United Nations. This is a key time to have Ambassador Danone on because Israel is taking this very seriously, so do we.
Yeah, and then we're fighting this out right now at the United Nations.
Well, and to underscore what Jordan said, the United States knows exactly what these resolutions will look like because they have seen them before, and there has been a seven-year effort to walk back the United States position on this. This is just the last step in that process. The U.S. knows what to expect. They're just pretending that they don't.
I want to encourage you as we get ready to take a break to do two things. One is support Israel. We've got a petition up right now that we encourage you to sign. Let the ambassador know that we're standing with them. You could do that at ACLJ.org. And when you're there, don't forget our April matching challenge. We could use your help. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. As we stand for Israel, you join with us in this fight. When we come back, we're going to play you a historic statement on the floor of the General Assembly, Security Council, actually, at the United Nations. You're not going to want to miss it. But again, to stand with us, go to ACLJ.org, support our work, but also stand with Israel. ACLJ.org.
The
It is a critical time for our nation. And the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam and the persecution of Christians, to defending life at the U.S. Supreme Court, to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms, we could not do this work without you, without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. There was a historic moment on the floor of the United Nations. We've been front and center fighting against these attempts by, unfortunately, the United States in some regards, but also the UN and others, to force these settlements of the borders for the Israelis. And I will tell you this, we're going to be joined in just 30 seconds by Ambassador. In fact, we've got Ambassador Danone now. And I want to just, first of all, say that Danny Danone has been a friend of ours for a long time. And you've heard him on this radio broadcast around the country and around the world for a number of years. But he is now the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations. Ambassador, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Jay. It's a pleasure to be on your show again.
Let me play for our audience a little bit of what took place at the United Nations just a few days ago. I was on the phone with Ambassador Danone just a couple of days ago and told him that I think this was an historic moment on the floor of the United Nations for the defense of Israel. One of the most eloquent, direct, clear, concise defenses of Israel. And you got to listen to the Palestinian Authority's representative to the UN because it tells you the whole story. Here it is.
You should teach in your schools. You should stop the hatred. You should stop naming streets after terrorists. We condemn all terrorism in Hebrew, in English, in Arabic.
We condemn the killing of all innocent civilians, including Palestinian civilians. Do you do the
you're
same?
You're paying the families of the terrorists.
Do you do the same?
You're glorifying terrorism. Shame on you for doing that.
We don't.
Shame on you for glorifying terrorism.
Shame on you for killing thousands of Palestinian children.
For not saying we condemn all acts of terror, period.
Well, there you have it. What a statement on the floor of the UN. And Ambassador, I told you this the other day, and I mean it. It's a phenomenal statement. Let me ask you for context here for our audience. There is a move right now. We're working on this through our NGO that is recognized at the UN, an NGO with the UN, our European Center for Law and Justice, on these redefinition of borders, and the Palestinian Authority is trying to push this through the UN. And then you've got the so-called, you know, stop building in settlements, which is Israeli land and territory, which is absurd to be like telling the United States, don't build in Manhattan or Washington, D.C. What's your sense of what's happening? You're the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations. What's your sense of where things are right now?
Jay, the Palestinians are walking in two fronts. In Israel, on the ground, they continue with the incitement. We saw when we heard the Palestinian representative that he is not able to condemn terrorism publicly. Right. And while they are inciting and instigating in Israel, they come here to the UN and they try to promote resolutions at the UN Security Council to condemn Israel, to bash Israel. And unfortunately, we see that some people are cooperating with them. Instead of telling them, enough with the incitement, if you want to move forward, go back and sit with the Israelis in the region. Unfortunately, we see that they are being welcomed here, and people are not demanding them to stop the incitement.
Let me ask you this question, because you started your argument, and I'm a Supreme Court lawyer, so I really appreciate the way you laid this out. The first thing you said is you should teach in your schools. You should stop the hatred. You should stop teaching hatred in your schools. Now, I have been down into Israel many times with you many times, and I have been there when I've heard some Palestinian kids in the streets talking about the blood, and these were 10 and 11, 12-year-olds, the blood of the Jews running in the streets, and that would obviously include my own family. So let's talk about what they are teaching in the schools and this kind of the way they'll say one thing in English and another thing in Arabic.
Well, Jay, I always be to the Security Council, the family of Dafna Meir, who was stabbed at the front of her home by a 16-year-old Palestinian. And when we arrested him, he confessed and he said it. He said, "I decided to kill a Jew, any Jew, after I saw a television program on the Palestinian Authority television." So actually, you know, when they go to school, they hear the hatred. When they come back home, they open the TV, they see programs against the Jewish people. When they get older and they go to the mosques, they hear sermons against the Jewish people, and we see the results. The result is the stabbings, the shootings, and that is the reality. That's why we need to start with the basic. We need to start with stopping the incitement.
We are talking to a very good friend of ours, the UN ambassador from Israel to the United Nations, Ambassador Danny Danone, who has been a real champion, let me tell you, for defending his country. And I appreciate so much his efforts, and I'm thrilled that he's in New York. We're going to talk about the BDS movement in a moment, but I want to stay on this UN focus because we're working aggressively at the United Nations. Jordan, I know you had a comment and question for the ambassador.
That's right. And I want to remind people, too, Ambassador Danone has been a good friend of our broadcast, been on our television programs and documentaries we put together. And as he has risen through the ranks of the Israeli political process as well, through Deputy Speaker of the Knesset now, all the way to the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, their top ambassador at the world's largest international organization. I wanted to ask Ambassador Danone specifically, I know the U.S. support, and listen, I always like to, Ambassador, as you do, kind of separate out the government of the U.S. and the people, because I believe still that the people, I know our listeners of the U.S. are very supportive of Israel, but I'm worried about our government right now, specifically the administration and what they're moving at the United Nations with these kind of resolutions. Is the U.S. giving Israel enough support to kind of, because at the Security Council, the U.S. can put a stop to any of this?
Exactly. The main support for Israel at the UN is the support we get at the Security Council. And the U.S. can veto any resolution, being one of the P5 at the Security Council. And it happened last time in 2011 when the Palestinians submitted a resolution against Israel. 14 members out of 15 supported, and the U.S. stood with Israel and supported us and vetoed the decision. We heard and we read some reports that maybe there would be a UN resolution that would be submitted by the administration. We don't think it will be constructive, because I think the people in the administration understand that both sides need to go back to the negotiation, and you cannot impose a solution on the side. So the best thing to do is to call for the renewal of the direct negotiations.
And that seems to be one of the things I think we've got to emphasize here. We're joined again by our good friend, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Danone. Ambassador, let me ask you this question, because this ties into something you and I were talking about just 2 days ago, and that the boycott, divestiture, and sanction. There's attempts, and I think it's important for our audience to understand this. There are multiple attempts to delegitimize the state of Israel. Some of those come in the form of UN resolutions, where Israel's the target of those more than any other country in the world. There's a recent report that came out of the State Department I'm not too happy about. I'll talk about that in a moment. But there's also this attempt in the universities around the world to delegitimize Israel, and that anyone that stands up for Israel will be really challenged, including boycotts, divestiture, and sanctions put in place. Now, Ambassador, I know this is something that you're very concerned about in your role as Ambassador to the United Nations, and we've been dealing with this all over the world. We've been successful in 6 cases in the United States. We're working on several in Europe. We've got a brand new case, and an interesting situation there. The student involved in the newest case is not Jewish. He's Hindu, from India, president of a major college's graduate student association. He stood up for Israel, and he was he's been vehemently opposed on his campus beyond free speech. I mean, horrible allegations. And the reality is this BDS movement, boycott, divestiture, and sanction, Ambassador, has been something that is very significant and is close to your heart and something I know we're going to be working on together to stop.
Well, we see that there is a new wave of anti-Semitism. Today, it is not politically correct to say I'm an anti-Semite. So it's much more easy to say I'm against Israel, period. And we see the BDS got into the UN. We heard about the decision to create a database of Israeli companies that are making any businesses right. with people in Judea and Samaria. This is the kind of BDS we are facing. And also here in campuses, I cannot accept the fact that people who support Israel will be afraid to work on campus in New York or in California. It shouldn't be the case. We need to stand together. And at the end of May, we will hold a major event at the UN on this issue. And we do want to see our partners standing with us, Christians, Jews, and also Muslims, who understand that this is not the way to promote anything in the Middle East by boycotting Israel.
I think it's important for folks to hear from you, especially our listeners and members around the country, how important it is, the work that we're doing at the ACLJ, whether it's at the UN or in these other international tribunals, for the defense of Israel and Israel's legitimacy as a Jewish state, how important that work is.
It is crucial to continue the fight, and we need our friends to stand with us. And I think it is a major contribution to our fight that it's not only Jews fighting by themselves, but you have Jews and Christians together fighting the BDS. And I think when you take the case into court and you do it professionally and you win the case, it is a major win because people look at it. And many professors and many campuses, they're analyzing the cases, and I think it's crucial to continue not to be afraid to take those cases to court and to fight it, because being silent, that's exactly what the BDS is all about, to keep the supporters of Israel silent, and we should not do that.
Well, we're doing exactly that. We're going to court, as you know. We're looking forward to working with you at the end of May at the United Nations. Ambassador, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Jay.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. Our guest was Ambassador Danny Danone. You heard what he said, folks. We're getting ready to take a break. You need to stand with Israel, and you could do it right now. Go to ACLJ.org, sign that petition. But you also heard what he said. We need to go to court. We need to continue to go into court. And we're fighting on these issues around the country, frankly, around the world. Our offices all over the globe are united in defense of Israel. So we could use your help. We're in a matching challenge campaign this month, which means any amount you donate is going to help us in this fight for Israel. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It is a critical time for our nation, and the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam and the persecution of Christians, to defending life at the U.S. Supreme Court, to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms, we could not do this work without you, without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Let me tell you, we just were joined by Ambassador Danny Danone from Israel. He's the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations. He was in New York when he talked to us. I was on the phone with him 2 days ago, and we were discussing the importance of our work on behalf of Israel. There's an attack point right now where there's this attempt and a move to delegitimize the state of Israel. And we're fighting back on that on multiple fronts. I'll go to Jordan in a moment, but I want to go to Than Bennett because we're also fighting at the United Nations. We've just sent out a series of legal documents to the UN, Than, and let's get everybody kind of a sense of timing and what the two major issues are, because this is important for people to understand.
Well, you heard Ambassador Danone address both of these. There are two main resolutions that we're focused on, Jay. The one is a forced settlement between the Palestinians and Israel, one that would not be negotiated, but that we would be forced through the UN. This is something that the United States has consistently vetoed at the Security Council. But last year, they made a significant move, did not veto it until the very end. And as a result, it became within one vote of passing. That's resolution number one. The second one is the one that you heard the ambassador note, which is the one that condemns this so-called settlements. Back in 2011, that only that had 14 of the 15 votes in favor of. Only the United States was against it, and that is the one that it now looks like the United States is pulling back on. So yep. We are engaging with both the United States to try to shore up their position. But Jay, we have also taken this case to the other members of the Permanent right. Five, because if the United States takes the wrong position on this, we are going to need one of those other five countries to issue that veto. So we're engaging on both fronts right now.
There's also a situation, and I will tell you this, where the United States is putting unbelievable pressure on the UN. I want to play the statement from the Vice President of the United States, and I'm going to comment and have Jordan comment. This is an unbelievable statement. We're an ally of Israel. Here's what Joe Biden, Vice President of the United States, had to say.
We have an overwhelming obligation, notwithstanding our sometimes overwhelming frustration with the Israeli government.
Is that Joe Biden says that the Israelis know in their heart the right thing to do, but they just won't do it. Well, the reality is what the president is proposing with the return to the pre-67 borders is indefensible. It's a suicide border pact. That's what it is. And you don't have a partner that recognizes your right to exist as a Jewish state. So it's very difficult to negotiate with someone who doesn't believe you have the right to exist in the first place.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. And those kind of statements coming from the vice president, I think, signal where the U.S. is going at the United Nations. We just had Ambassador Danny Danone, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, on the broadcast. And the U.S., as he mentioned, in 2011, was the single country at this U.N. Security Council and one of the five permanent members, but the only one that stopped one of these Palestinian yep. resolutions. If the U.S. were to work on one of those resolutions and this time reverse course and change what they did 5 years ago, you would have a move at the U.N. that would go through unanimously. So we have got to be very watchful. When you see this rhetoric from Vice President Biden, I think that's more of a signal of what the U.S. could be preparing at the international stage in these final months of the Obama presidency.
We've had some great comments come in from Facebook. I'm also going to take your calls in just a minute. Grace on Facebook wrote, thank you for having UN Ambassador Danny Danone speak to America. We are praying for Israel. It's not every day you get this the ambassador to the United Nations coming off the floor of the UN to do this. We're thrilled he was able to do it, working into his schedule. Sandra on Facebook says, Israel has been a great ally to the U.S., and security-wise, they have been a blessing. There's no doubt about it. It protects our own interests in the region. It's not just Israel we're protecting. They're protecting our interests in the region, too, which includes multiple things, as you can imagine. The stability factor in the region there is significant. We did get a question from Taz, and that is on Facebook. What is the BDS movement? We talked about it at the end of the interview. That is a movement to delegitimize the state of Israel, mostly through businesses, divestiture and sanctions. That's where they don't invest in Israeli goods, don't buy Israeli goods, or boycott Israeli goods, or boycott Israeli academics and harassing pro-Israel students. Those include Christian students. As I told Ambassador Danone, we've got a case involving right now a Hindu student that's pro-Israel. We're going to go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Jenny is calling from New York on line one. Hi, Jenny.
Hi. Thank you, Jay, so much
sure.
for giving people like me who feel a little overwhelmed by all of this
yeah.
like a chance to sign the petition on
great.
The ACLJ.
Thank you for doing that.
Or to support financially. So thank you.
Thank you.
Well, and also thanks to the ambassador, and I'm so thankful for Israel's patience and wisdom with us.
Yeah.
And I am praying that God will bless them for that. And I do want to remind people to be in prayer and fasting in addition to the other ways to.
You know, let me say, jump in here for a second, Jay, and then ask your question. That is, the Israelis have learned that sometimes you have to suffer through administrations that are hostile to your position. And you have an administration right now that's hostile to the position. There's an op-ed, I mentioned this earlier, that is published in the Israeli National News. It is from the parent of, who's an attorney in New Jersey, Stephen Flatow. He is the father of Alicia Flatow, who was murdered in an Iranian-sponsored Palestinian terrorist attack in 1995. And President Obama has the State Department issuing a report condemning Israel for defending their soldiers. And this is absurd, but this is where the administration's gone, and so we're fighting back. But go ahead with your comment, Jenny.
Yeah, it makes me want to, like, cry and scream all
the time. Don't do that. You know what you need to do? Pray and stay engaged. Help us do what you're doing. By you said support the ACLJ. It makes a big difference. We're able to go to the UN. We have offices in Jerusalem. We're not just talking about it on a radio broadcast. We're doing it. But go ahead with the last part of your question.
Absolutely. And I think that's why prayer is key. And it may be a part of an answer to my question. Because God can change the heart of man. Sure. But any thoughts on why?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. There's been a move since the founding of the State of Israel to delegitimize Israel. And that's what this is. These are moves to delegitimize the State of Israel and the Jewish people. And I call it anti-Semitism. And Danny Danone, the ambassador, said that it's a new form of anti-Semitism. Because you can't say you're anti-Semitic. That's not very politically, calculable. You can't say that and get away with that anymore. But you could be really hard or unreasonable the State of Israel and try to delegitimize it. And that's what's going on here. And the motives of the administration, I think, Jordan, go back to the fact that the president doesn't want anything that's going to impact how he's viewed within the Muslim world. Yet let me say this, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and Egypt, they're backing Israel.
Yeah, and I mean,
not Iran, which is who the president put a partnership with.
That relationship is starting to really fall apart, especially with Saudi Arabia. And it's not like Saudi Arabia is perfect by any extent, the human rights issues there. But they are internationally a key ally for the United States and should be a key ally in the battle against ISIS as well and be more responsible. So while we talk about these issues, we have to realize that what the president has done is always used rhetoric that's been worrisome when it comes to Israel. But as Ambassador Danone said, that ultimately the administration may say some things, and we know they've caught them even off mic saying things where they thought they weren't public, but ultimately has done the right thing at the international level when it comes directly to Israel. I'm not saying when it comes to the battle against ISIS, because I don't think their strategy is working at all. But when it comes to Israel, we're nervous that this time around, they may not do what they did in 2011. Let me explain why very quickly. President Obama will not be on the ballot again. Now, he wasn't then either, but he is also not going to be the kind of leading the charge for Democrats either. It will be whoever the Democrat presidential nominee is. So those who may disagree with him and need to for political purposes will be open to, and so it won't bind the Democrats politically in the U.S. Though it should, it won't.
All right, folks, we're taking a break. We are here for another 30 minutes. If you're not getting the full hour of the broadcast, a lot of you are now on stations around the country. If you're not, SiriusXM, of course, has it, ACLJ.org, Facebook, and Periscope. So multiple ways for you to get it, Apple TV, soon to be on Roku. Again, as we take a break here, let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org. You heard what the ambassador said. We've got to fight these, not just talk about it. We've got to fight these in the courts of public opinion, at the United Nations, in courtrooms, and within the universities. And the ACLJ, we're doing just that. And you could partner with us as we partner with Israel. Go to ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we're in that matching challenge. We're getting a matching gift for us. So I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org or call us as well. And we'll talk about the issues as well. But take action right now. That's what I want you to do. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org for the matching challenge campaign. And you can sign on to that petition for the State of Israel. We encourage you, as we have over 100,000 signatures, to do just that. ACLJ.org right now for that matching challenge or to stand with Israel. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
It is a critical time for our nation, and the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking
hour of the broadcast. And if you're just joining us, let me recap. We had on Danny Danone, the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations. In fact, coming up in the next segment, I'm going to play a short bite from the interview. So we're going to put that in. So those of you that are joining the program now will get to hear some of the interview I had with Danny Danone. But I want to start with what took place on the floor of the UN. Then I'm going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. A clash between the Israeli ambassador and the Palestinian ambassador. Remember, there's all those moves right now at the UN to force a settlement of the border disputes, as they're called. Returning Israel to the pre-67 borders, which frankly are indefensible, and then trying to condemning Israel for building what they call, what the UN likes to call, occupied territory. It's Israeli land. And the UN thinks that they should be able to stop it. But here's what took place between Danny Danone, who you'll hear from first at the United Nations, and then you'll hear the Palestinian Authority's UN ambassador. Take a listen to this.
People are looking at you. Palestinian children are looking at you right now, and they say, you cannot say, I condemn all acts of terrorism. One sentence you cannot say. One sentence you cannot say. Shame on you for that. Shame on you for not being able to say it. Shame on you.
My people be
shame
free.
On you.
Shame on you. You are occupier. You are colonizer.
We heard those excuses.
Leave us alone.
But we haven't heard any condemnation.
There you have it. And they will not condemn the activities of terrorists, Jordan, that are happening in Israel right now.
No, that's right. I mean, you see,
because they know, by the way, let me just say, because they know if they do, that they may be overthrown by their partner in government, Hamas, a recognized terrorist organization. But go ahead, Jordan.
That's right. And you know, as Ambassador Danone said earlier in his interview on the broadcast today, that they won't do this publicly. And I think that that was key, that word that he used. They won't do this publicly. And I think that's because the Palestinian Authority, as you said, that they're so weak
yep.
that if they were to agree with that statement publicly, whether or not they do or don't behind the scenes, that more radical elements, which will already have taken over the Gaza Strip
right.
with Hamas, would be taking over the West Bank as well. And so they, again, though, this is a government propped up basically by Israel
yes.
and the United States, with by Israel and the U.S., because they are better than what the alternative might be, and they still are unwilling to condemn all terrorism, period. They wouldn't do that.
Right.
They would just condemn Israel. And second, when they talk about, when Ambassador Danone talked about how they pay the families of what they call martyrs of the terrorists who kill themselves in these attacks on Israeli citizens and innocent civilians.
Right.
And so
and they make
again,
them heroes. They plant trees and gardens to them.
And they named the streets after him.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call. Bob's calling on line 5. Bob, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you great, Bob. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to, I mean, I don't really have a question, but I did like to make a statement that, you know, it's our fellow Americans that are putting these people in office. I mean, 2 terms of Obama.
I don't, it's two, I agree with you on the 2 terms of an administration, 8 years of an administration that has an anti-Israel bias does cause a problem. But what does, you made a good point to start with, and I want to go to Than Bennett on this, and that is, and I think, Than, it's very important to set this up. The reality is that there is this attempt within the administration, we know elections have consequences, and that position of the administration being brought into play, whether it's at the UN or at the international tribunals or in the courts of public opinion, has an anti-Israel bias. And I think it's they're trying to woo some of the Muslim world, although the Muslim world is more lining up with Israel right now than they are with the administration.
I think that's right. And Jay, I would go a step further. I think it has exposed very clearly the danger of giving credibility to the unity government, which is something that this administration has wanted to do. That exchange you heard with the ambassador, that was not an exchange with Hamas. That was
right.
an exchange with a Palestinian Authority
yeah,
official.
Right.
And Jordan pointed out that it's under pressure and duress from Hamas. But let's remember, we're continuing to fund them. We're continuing to acknowledge their credibility, even though it's in contravention of U.S. law. So I think that's the real danger there.
All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. And we'll take your calls. But I also want you to stand with Israel. You heard it from the ambassador himself. Go to, it's simple to do, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Sign the petition there to stand with Israel. Also, let me say this. When you do that, make a donation. Support the work of the ACLJ. That allows us to engage these issues around the globe. ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
The storm begins. The basis of all this hate is going to end.
It is a critical time for our nation. And the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam and the persecution of Christians, to defending life at the U.S. Supreme Court, to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms, we could not do this work without you, without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Talking about that song, Hold Your Head Up. You got to hold your head up and fight back on this. We're doing just that. But then will you quickly go over for everybody, and I think this is important for people to understand, we're not, as I said, and there's a lot of new listeners to the broadcast, we're not just talking about these issues, folks. We're engaging. We have an office in Jerusalem. We have an office in Washington, D.C. We have lawyers, senior lawyers in New York City that deal with the UN and on these issues defending Israel. But let's talk what our work actually does at the UN. We just sent off a series of legal documents to the UN, but we also orally intervene on these matters because we're able to do that through our European Center for Law and Justice, which is an NGO, non-governmental organization, recognized special consultative status with the UN. But I think for our audience, very important, our listeners, to understand what exactly we can do and how they can be part of it.
Well, that's right. It gives us access to all of the member nations of the United Nations, Jay, but also direct access to the 15 members of the Security Council, including the five permanent five members. And I would just say, along with those letters that you mentioned, that we've already sent out the door warning them about these resolutions that are coming and then laying out the legal arguments against them, it also gives us experience, Jay. We have seen these resolutions come down the pike before. We have worked against them, and that's a big reason the United States has been in the right place. So while there's some talk out there, including from the United States, of we don't know what these resolutions are going to look like yet because they haven't been introduced, well, we've seen them and we are telling them what they are going to say. So our experience and our access allows us to get out in front of this.
All right, we're going to go ahead and do another phone call here. 1-800-684-3110. Chris is calling from Indianapolis, Indiana. We do a line open, 800-684-3110. Chris, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing today, Jay?
Doing great.
Great. What can we do here in the United States
to
educate people that they don't have this one-sided thing that, well, they shoot and kill?
Well, let me tell you what this is, Chris, and I'm very glad you called. There is a disinformation campaign that is out there that right now to delegitimize the state of Israel. As I said, there's a very important op-ed by the parent of one of the young women who was killed by Iranian-backed Palestinian terrorists was killed in Jerusalem. Got the connection there? Shia Iran sends resources to Sunni Palestinian terrorists to kill Jews. And we've just cut a deal with the Iranians. So no wonder even our allies in the region are worried about us. But what's happened is there's this attempt to delegitimize Israel. I have taken those cases, I've been involved in those cases, where they brought these allegations against the state of Israel, even to international tribunals, saying it was excessive force or it wasn't justified. The fact of the matter is, Jordan and I went to the International Criminal Court in The Hague, and we won. presenting Israel's position. We carried the day. They didn't even recognize the jurisdictional aspect of the Palestinian Authority to even bring a claim at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Now, we're still fighting other issues there now, so the work is going on. But there is this attempt to delegitimize Israel and Jordan. This has been going on for well over, I mean, significantly during the Obama administration, because you got an administration, frankly, that's not friendly to the Jewish state. And you heard it from Joe Biden's mouth. And I'm going to play Josh Earnest in a moment. You'll hear it from him.
And the real military conflict has been not in the West Bank under the Palestinian Authority control. It's not like an ongoing war or serious military operations or security operations, but you don't see the level of violence. We're talking, when we talk about the situation in dealing directly with the military aspect, it's got the Gaza Strip under the control of a organization that the U.S. government recognizes as a terrorist, right, international terrorist organization,
because, by
Hamas.
The way, let me jump in for a second. Because Hamas, who's the partner of Fatah, as Jordan just said, I'll let Jordan finish in a moment. They are in partnership with Fatah, which is the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas. So the ambassador you heard represents them. Hamas calls for the destruction of the Jewish state of Israel. They call it the Zionist occupying regime. They want it destroyed. But go ahead, Jordan.
Well, and I was saying, we played this by earlier in the week from former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, now leading presidential candidate on the Democrat side, probably will get the nomination after her big win in New York. And she even talked about how Hamas uses human shields. And that distinction that Joe Biden was not making in his speech, that Vice President Biden was making, she did make before a pro-Israel group, talking about how when they're fighting against Hamas, which they have a right to do after these attacks,
right,
that Hamas is not just using human shields, but is putting their own troops in human, you know, in regular clothing so that they appear to be casualties. Yeah, appear to be casualties. She even went so far as, you know, she said they put the weapons from schools. They put the arsenals. They shoot the rockets from neighborhoods. They don't use open space. They use places specifically that make it difficult to tactically attack. And we all know Israel, like the U.S., is as precise as possible. But when you're dealing with that situation, you have to say it's not going to be perfect, but you have to be able to fight back.
Yeah, it's interesting because you heard the Joe Biden. By the way, we're getting great comments. Caroline on Facebook says it's heartbreaking to see our country against Israel. Sickening. She said Joseph on Facebook writes, Israel has always been our friend. The administration has stabbed them in the back. It's wrong. This seems to be the sentiment of a lot of people. The administration did try to explain it away. Let me play for you Josh Earnest, the White House spokesman. Josh Earnest trying to explain away the Biden comment.
Our sincere concern for the national security of our closest ally in the Middle East, Israel. That's what we're focused on. The inability to make that progress is frustrating. And that's what Vice President Biden was giving voice to yesterday.
Basically arguing that Israel doesn't know what's in its own best interest. That's what Vice President Biden was making. All right, let's go to Mark. He's on line two. He's calling from, line two. Hey, Mark, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing today? Can you hear me?
Good. Yeah, sound a little great.
All right. Basically, my comment was, you know, as an atheist, I like to believe that I have a non-biased view at this. And my question was, wouldn't it just make sense to kind of, you know, how the Americans, they set up Indian reservations. Like, okay, we have a dispute. You want the land. We want the land. We'll give you this. We'll have this. Couldn't the same work for Israel-Palestine?
Well, look, I mean, first of all, it didn't work out so good for American Indians. For Native Americans, it did not work out so great, the reservations. And basically, Mark, that has been done. And that was the UN resolution recognizing the state of Israel in 1947. And those set out borders. Then what happened, it's very important to understand the history of this. Israel was attacked right after the Declaration of Independence and right after they were recognized by the United Nations, by its surrounding neighbors, so to speak. And they attacked, and Israel was successful after being attacked. And the Jerusalem property, which is always the area of dispute, frankly, that was the 67 war. Israel was able to recapture its eternal city. And hadn't been an eternal city for 3,000 years, but it was for thousands of years. It was the Jewish homeland. Jerusalem was the capital. And that portion of Jerusalem was taken back. But it was the surrounding Muslim countries that attacked Israel. And when you attack someone and you lose, guess what? You lose territory. But this was territory that Israel had previously had. So it's a good question, Mark. They've kind of done that, and they've set up this A, B, and C approach. But the fight at the UN thing, let's go back to this for a moment. The fight at the UN is much deeper because it's programmatic. It's trying to delegitimize Israel, but also put it in an indefensible security border.
Well, and it's doing it in the most hostile to Israel body that exists on the face of the planet. I mean, let's just be honest. They censor Israel more than all of the other countries of the world combined. And just quickly, in response to that caller, I want them to think about who Israel is being asked to negotiate with, because the Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, recently made a comment that they are cooperating with Israel against terrorism. Now, that statement may or may not be true, but what was telling was how quickly Hamas came out and repudiated that statement. Hamas, who is a part of the government, won't even repudiate terrorism. And you saw that doubled down on it with that exchange with Ambassador Dimon.
Absolutely.
That is the entity that the United Nations wants Israel to negotiate with.
Very quickly here, Jordan, coming up on a break. Two-state solution in the Middle East, tragically more distant, says Ban Ki-moon, the UN Secretary General. But it's distant, as Than just said. I think it's a great point. It's distant because the partner that you're negotiating with doesn't want to recognize your right to exist.
Right. I mean, the territories are in place. If you said, you know, Gaza Strip, West Bank, here's where we're talking about, and probably some kind of transitory route between those two that would need to be created for Palestinians, which I think the Israelis could do in a secure way, and then they'd have more right to travel, operate maybe in an airport. That would be key. And so the territories are there. But if you're talking about taking away territory from Israel, and they've already offered some before, and the Palestinians have rejected that, I think it's key to point out for our last caller that Jerusalem was never under the control of Palestinians. It was the Jordanians. And the Jordanians attacked Israel along with Syria and Egypt. They lost that war.
Right.
And you don't see the Jordanians, by the way, saying we have to have Jerusalem back. Their government is not. They are actually pretty friendly with Israel. And they also deal with the Palestinian issue because they've got a lot of Palestinians in their country that cause trouble as well. So they would also want a solution like that where you would have an independent Palestinian kind of state set up so that these other Arab countries don't have to rely on taking care of them. But you got to have a Palestinian government to negotiate with. And right now, you really don't.
We're coming back from a break. The Golan Heights in northern Israel. Off limits, says the United States. In other words, not part of Israel. Talk about that when we come back from the break. Let's show our support for Israel. You can do that by going to ACLJ.org. Sign that petition defending Israel. Join with us in that fight. You heard from the ambassador, Israel. Important for you to engage this issue. We want you to do that. ACLJ.org. And also support the work of the ACLJ. President is in Saudi Arabia today. So let's talk about how that's going to impact everything on the next segment. But ACLJ.org is a great way to sign that petition and stand with the ACLJ as well by simply joining us and supporting the work of the ACLJ. And again, any amount you donate, we're getting a matching gift for. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110 when we come back.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It is a critical time for our nation, and the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Whether it's working to protect Americans from the dangers of radical Islam and the persecution of Christians, to defending life at the U.S. Supreme Court, to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms, we could not do this work without you, without your support. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
United States, our government, signaled its opposition to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's statement that the Golan Heights will forever remain a part of Israel, stressing on Monday that Washington did not consider the Golan Heights part of Israel. Now, I've been to the Golan Heights a lot. We've got a great movie on this called The Export, by the way. And I don't know if that's, I think that is available right now. And you should get it. It's free and you need to view it. But let me tell you something about the Golan Heights. This is an Israel defense on the border of Syria and Lebanon. This is important. Again, as Jordan just mentioned before the break, there was an attack. Israel reobtained land it had previously had. But John Kirby, the State Department spokesman, Admiral Kirby, had the nerve to say this to the world.
The U.S. position on the status of the Golan Heights is longstanding and is unchanged. Every administration on both sides of the aisle since 1967 has maintained that those territories are not part of Israel. The conditions under which those territories are ultimately returned should be decided through negotiations between the respective parties. And obviously, Saeed, the current situation in Syria makes it difficult to continue those efforts at this time.
No kidding. You mean the civil war that's going on? You mean the ISIS control of Syria? I mean, really, John Kirby. So, Golan Heights, which are basically protecting all of our allies in the region because Israel has control of it, we should give that up, the Israelis. Why? Because, and who do we want us to give? You want to give it back to Syria? I mean, by the way, who's that property the Golan Heights going to go to? You want to return it to Syria? Because I don't think that's a really smart move right now. But Jordan, this again is the ridiculous nature of what's going on here.
Yeah, I mean, here's where the Golan Heights would be returning back to if it were right at this point. Either ISIS, the Iranian-backed Assad regime, if it were to survive, or Russia, basically, with the Iranian-backed survive. And that's the U.S. choice there to support a position that it would basically be going back to ISIS, Iran, or Russia. Or we could say, let's stand with our ally and keep it on our side of the issue with the U.S., someone we can rely on. I mean, that's how absurd our policies have become. He is, again, he does acknowledge that there's nowhere to negotiate at this point, but
he wants to be clear, this is not Israeli territory, but it begs the question you asked, which is, well, then who gets it?
And by the way, that sets up this whole UN move, because by saying that they are occupying territory that isn't theirs, even though that right now it may not be a good time, just by doing that alone, even though you can't solve the problem, by doing that alone could give the U.S. something to rely on to move at the international level.
Right. On this broadcast, we give you the evidence. Fans, a government affairs specialist, knows the politics, knows Capitol Hill. Jordan and I are lawyers. We deal with the evidence. Give the Golan Heights back to whom? Who would you like it to go to? You want to go to give it to Vladimir Putin? Or how do you feel about giving it to Asir Bassad? Now, that'd be the head of Syria. Or like I said, Khalifa Ibrahim. That's how absurd these policies are. And Jordan, it's amazing that they'll still say those language, use that language, and try to make a point about this.
Yeah, but what I'm concerned about is that when you use a broad term like parties, well, the UN Security Council could be one of those parties.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, he didn't define exactly who those parties are. He left that open, said it would be tough to determine that right now. So again, I go to his language saying these moves for these resolutions because again, you couldn't have direct negotiations between Syria and Israel right now over this because there's no clear Syrian government with what's happening with Assad and ISIS, that it would be the UN that could be one of those parties at the Security Council level. And when you use these broad terms like that, again, you're setting up the move from the administration. So far, we haven't seen. We've been concerned about before. So far, they've done the right thing ultimately at the UN. But this language is getting more concerning. It's why the Israelis are speaking up more so than ever before. They usually would because of the direct tie and how important the U.S. is.
Yep.
But they're feeling the pressure.
All right, let's go ahead and get Jim, who's calling online from Wisconsin on line 3. Hi, Jim.
How you doing, Jay?
Good, sir.
A little nervous here, so bear with me.
You'll be fine.
I would just want to say I was in the United States Navy about 30 years ago.
Then you have nothing to be nervous about. Thank you for your service.
I visited Israel, and actually the conflict I was involved with was with Iran.
Yep.
And so I've been on both sides of this issue, and I just want to say that Israel is one of the most beautiful, friendliest places to be. I never felt more welcomed, and it's such a shame that in just a short period of time from the Reagan era to the current era, how we have turned our backs on basically all of our allies and allied ourselves with our enemy. I don't see the logic behind this.
Well, there is no logic behind it. Here's what's happened: our enemies don't fear us, and our friends don't trust us. And the president cut this deal with Iran, and that has created unbelievable instability in the region. And Jim, you're right. Israel is our closest ally. We have other allies in the region as well. Israel has other allies in the region now. But the fact is, this has been undercut very significantly, and that's why we fight back. Jim, I appreciate you calling in. Judith is calling from Houston, Texas. Go ahead, Judith.
Yes. Hi, Jay. Yep. God bless you and your team.
Thanks.
And thank you for being doers of God's word.
Yep.
You guys amaze me. My question is basically your professional opinion. You know law really well and constitutional law. But my concern is, where you see this administration, particularly in the next several months, you know, through to his term, where you see Israel, it really concerns me.
Well, it's a great question. I think this is a very dangerous time for the state of Israel. The Jewish state is under unbelievable international pressure. We talked about that with that boycott, divestiture, and sanction movement that we're fighting so aggressively in our offices around the globe. The attempts to delegitimize the Jewish state of Israel are ongoing. And the fact of the matter is, the UN, Jordan, puts more resolutions in place. I'm going to ask Jordan and Thana to talk about this. Jordan, they put more resolutions against Israel in place than any other regime, including regimes like North Korea.
Oh, yeah. Israel's the number one most condemned at the United Nations. The only thing stopping that, and that comes from the General Assembly. The only country that has stopped that happening from the UN Security Council which makes those resolutions really kind of had the force of international law.
Yep.
I mean, they really have, you could have wars over them. You can have economic sanctions over them, is the U.S., That's been the one country that has stood in the way of all those resolutions becoming actual international sanctions and law.
Yep. So, Than, let's talk about which is the obvious question, and that is we've laid the issue out today very well. We had the ambassador for Israel on the broadcast to the United Nations. We have talked about the fact that we're fighting on this issue aggressively right now. We're engaged in this issue legally, politically. Let's talk about the next moves. Just go through a bit of a timeline here and what we need to do.
Well, I think our producer said it pretty well when he said these are chess moves by the administration and by the Palestinian government.
Yep.
The pieces are in place, so to speak. Our move is to block a checkmate. We are reaching out to the members of the Security Council and, Jay, specifically the Permanent Five. We're not giving up on the U.S. veto. That is really what needs to happen. But we are making the legal case under international law to those other members of the P5 that it should not be just the United States standing in the way of this, because this is a threat to the entire world.
No doubt about it. Folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Let me encourage you to do something. Very special broadcast indeed. You get the ambassador from Israel to the United Nations. You understand the scope of the work of the ACLJ. You understand we're able to bring you this news and these breakdown of information every day in this broadcast. We're thrilled, by the way, that we've been able to add so many stations for the full hour of this broadcast. It's incredible to us. We're on a lot of the conservative talk stations now. You're getting the full hour of the broadcast, Sirius XM, a number of stations around the country as well. Of course, Facebook, Periscope, Roku, not quite yet, but on Apple TV, we should have Roku pretty soon. So we're engaging on this, and of course, ACLJ.org. Stand with Israel. There's a petition at ACLJ.org. I encourage you to stand with us, sign that petition, and then support our work, which will help defend Israel. And you could do that by going to ACLJ.org. At any amount you donate, we're going to get a matching gift for, so it's doubled, and you're going to get, of course, it's tax deductible. So ACLJ.org for that. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It is a critical time for our nation, and the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255 or go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.